You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers. Those views may or may not reflect the views of other people associated with this radio station, but in either case, they are in no way responsible for those views. If you have a problem, you should take it up with me and not them. So prepare yourselves. It's time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee!
The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. But first, a public service announcement from the Australian government.
Do you have something to hide? Nah, just kidding. We're not some fascist regime. Seriously though, do you? Unfortunately, encryption makes it hard for us to spy on you these days. So just to make sure, we're introducing yet another law to expand the surveillance state. Introducing the Assistance and Access Bill, or ASS Access, for short. Oh, relax. Despite how it sounds, we're not trying to access your data through your back door. We're just after the keys to your front door. Yup, ASS Access will force tech companies to do our dirty work for us. For example, by making them insert a little secret sauce in their app, which lets us access your device once you download the latest update. And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them. ASS Access. It doesn't break encryption, only your trust in your favourite apps. To bring you ASS Access, we've taken the UK's fascist spying law and made it even more fascist by removing any need for judicial oversight. But don't worry, we promise to only spy on you if reasonable and proportionate. And you know you can trust us. We're the same cunts who doxed a welfare recipient for criticising us, who are prosecuting a whistleblower for exposing our misconduct, who throw kids in concentration camps for seeking asylum, and prosecute the journalists who report on them, and who gave $500 million of your tax dollars to a foundation full of our friends. So of course you can count on us to be reasonable and proportionate. And if we're not, well, you'll never hear about it. Because we've also introduced a 10-year jail sentence for any Snowden wannabes who disclose our abuse of ASS Access. ASS Access. Brought to you by Australia, where the laws of dickheads can't trump the laws of math, but they can trample human rights. Which is why, to test this shitfuckery, we chose Australia, the weakest of the Five Eyes Alliance, thanks to our lack of a Bill of Rights. So international data requests will now be funneled through us, compromising not just Aussies, but all of you fuckers too. You're welcome. We'd love to know what you think of ASS Access, so we've set up a public submission system where, for a limited time, you can protest our next step towards a fucked up dystopia. Australian government. Relax, we're not after your dick pics, just the last shreds of your civil liberties. Authorised by the Department of Home or Pairs.
Hello, welcome to the Thunderbolt for May 7th, 2021. We're going to start off this week's show with two examples of some very bad timing. So first off, Tell me, listeners, have you ever been bitten on the butt by a bear? During some of my previous lives, I have had friends who lived on isolated farms or isolated cabins that did not have running water, meaning they took care of their business in outhouses, meaning that I have had some experience in using outhouses myself. My central fear has always concerned spiders hanging out on the bottom of the seat, ready to zap my exposed privates. And thus, I always checked to make sure before exposing said privates. Had I used outhouses for years without incident, though, I may have eventually slacked with my spider inspections. And spiders are usually not a concern in the winter months anyway. However, I have now learned that spiders are far from the scariest possible inhabitants of the nether regions of your local outhouse. An Alaskan woman recently took a trip to her outhouse, for an instance, and she was literally bitten on the butt by a bear. Wow. Scary enough, even before she knew what had bitten her. However, she had run off without identifying her attacker, and her husband, thinking to flush out a raccoon or something, instead found himself staring down into the abyss, literally face to face with a bear. Yes, people, I could not get away with making this stuff up. Our second example of bad timing is provided by a 24-year-old Colorado woman who won a free tattoo. And she decided that she wanted a slogan on her arm expressing her desire to be real with the world. So she explained, quote, "I got this tattoo. I've wanted it for a couple of years now. It basically means like true to yourself and real and not pretending to be something that you're not. However, as noble as her intentions were, she picked incredibly bad wording at an incredibly bad time in March of 2020 to express her desire to be real with the world. For you see, her tattoo reads, courageously and radically refuse to wear a mask." Since this young lady actually believes that wearing masks is a necessary anti-COVID measure right now, she has thus felt compelled to spend this entire pandemic wearing long-sleeved shirts, lest people misunderstand. And again, I could not get away with making this stuff up. All right. A couple of things I wanted to go over before we continue with the show. Public radio in general and the Pacifica Network in particular are experiencing financial dire straits, and they need help. If you have any extra spare stimulus cash left over or any cash of any kind anywhere, please consider donating to the public radio station of your choice, preferably the one you're listening to right now. This new censorship machine they're building is quite scary, and skeptical voices are needed now more than ever. Anyway, next I'm going to bring back what used to be a regular Thunderbolt feature, but one that I haven't done in a long time. So get ready, because...
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and various permutations thereof, it's time for the big event that you've all been waiting for. It's time for the Irony of the Week. So, what is the Irony of the Week this week, Mr. Thunderbolt?
This week's irony is brought to us by Donald Trump's lawyer, Sidney Powell, who is a defendant in a billion-dollar lawsuit brought by the voting machine company Dominion. The suit is for defaming Dominion by claiming they were part of a plot to steal the last presidential election. Well, in response to these accusations, Sidney Powell's lawyer said this: "No reasonable person would conclude that Sidney Powell's statements concerning voter fraud were truly statements of fact." Indeed. So I guess it's time to let the reasonable people back into the room. Yes. So now we move on from butt-biting bears and inappropriate tattoos to asking that existential question: what the hell happened to Syria? What happened in Syria was that Western powers took advantage of a fairly large, nonviolent civilian protest movement. Then they imposed their deadly heavy hand in an attempt to implement regime change in Syria. Ha! Does that sound familiar? Yes, people. Once they did that, then predators, mercenaries, rats, intelligence operatives, skunks, and jihadi of all sorts, who were flying dozens of flags, descended upon Syria, along with all the rattlesnakes and arm dealers and vampires and organized crime figures that always operate on the periphery of such operations. Their efforts succeeded at creating 5.5 million refugees, and estimates of the total number of deaths in the Syrian intervention, as reported in April of 2016, which was 5 years ago, was that 400,000 had died thus far in Syria. There have been many, many more deaths since, and it is still far from over.
their efforts also succeeded at transforming Syria from a wealthy, educated, and economically thriving country into a smoking crater filled with little more than death and destruction. What the Western powers did not succeed in doing, though, was to achieve their stated objective. Bashar al-Assad is still firmly in power. As far as legally and ethically, Bashar al-Assad is the legitimate ruler of Syria. And therefore, the only legal foreign troops in Syria are the Russians and the Iranians, who were invited there by al-Assad. All other foreign troops, as well as all of their foreign proxies, are thus foreign invaders and thus have no legal or legitimate standing to even be there in the first place. But that said, there are no good guys in Syria, except the civilians. And the civilians are the one faction in Syria that has absolutely no voice whatsoever in what is happening to their country. Their fates are instead being determined by the aforementioned list of psychopaths, both foreign and domestic, meaning that the situation in Syria is literally insane. There are numerous factions of armed lunatics all fighting each other. It isn't unusual for an alliance to shift overnight and for former allies to suddenly find themselves fighting each other. There were literally situations where jihadists who were being supported by the CIA were fighting jihadists who were being supported by the State Department. And every side has been regularly engaging in the most heinous of war crimes. The Russians and the Syrian government forces were engaging in double taps, wherein they would bomb a civilian area and then wait for civilian helpers and rescuers to show up so that they could then bomb the civilian helpers and rescuers as well. But Western cries over the use of this truly heinous tactic are somewhat nullified by the fact that this tactic was first perfected by the Americans. And yet virtually all of the Western media coverage of Syria tried to paint everything there as being either pure black or pure white. You either unquestioningly supported the brave freedom fighters who were battling to free themselves from the brutal oppression of Assad, or you're a Russian dupe and pro-Assad apologist who labeled the situation as being an illegal and unjustified Western intrusion into someone else's country. Well, in these assessments, both sides were right and both sides were wrong. As mentioned, everyone except the civilians are the bad guys in this conflict. The insanity
can be niftily encapsulated by the white helmets. Western powers described the white helmets as a humanitarian civil aid organization, digging civilians from the rubble after Russian and Syrian bomb attacks on civilian areas. Wherein the detractors painted the white helmets as a Western-funded propaganda and spy organization. And some even accused them of staging false flag attacks. The thing is, both sides were wrong, and both sides were right. There are photographs and videos online to show individual white helmets supporting jihadists ranging from the so-called Islamic State Group or the Al-Nusra Front, which are Al-Qaeda's representatives in Syria, and they showed these white helmets cheering the arrival of such people. Now, the British founder of the White Helmets, a gentleman named James Le Mesurier, did have intelligence connections in his background. And when he died after a fall from his flat in Istanbul, it was assumed that Russian or Syrian interests had murdered him. It was the White Helmets who had collected the evidence after the so-called sarin gas attack that allegedly proved that the gas used in that attack had the same chemical signature as the sarin gas that al-Assad had turned over to the UN before the war had even started. And this supposedly proved that the gas used in this other attack had come from the Syrian government. Even though the mere fact that al-Assad had previously turned over his sarin gas to the Western powers meant that the Western powers also had access to this Syrian sarin, and that this Syrian sarin could thus theoretically be used in a false flag attack. Some tried to say the entire attack was a fake, but the evidence shows that the attack was real enough. The only question was who had actually launched it. In investigating the situation, though, I became aware that Mr. Le Mesurier himself was likely motivated, at least at first, by humanitarian concerns. He had been involved in Kosovo, and he bitterly complained at the time about how Western powers had simply made things worse there. A logical and intelligent assessment of what they did. Then he started the White Helmets under the theory that locals should do the actual work because empowering the locals was the best way to earn their trust. Again, very sound and intelligent reasoning. But I'm also convinced that James Le Mesurier and his organization were viewed as useful idiots by Western intelligence services and were subsequently co-opted by them for various nefarious ends.
what compromises and what ethical lines James Le Mesurier may have personally crossed during his journey, I do not know. On top of everything else, there is funny stuff going on with the financial books and Mr. Le Mesurier seemed to have been stealing a lot of money. Mr. Le Mesurier tried to claim that he had simply misplaced $30,000 in cash and then forgotten about it. But whatever the actual fate of the $30,000, this scandal, combined with what was probably a severe case of PTSD, makes it likely that Mr. Le Mesurier actually did commit suicide. As there were no signs of struggle, and as Mr. Le Mesurier's wife slept through whatever happened that night, and since Mrs. Le Mesurier seems to have almost worshipped her husband, and since she stood to inherit absolutely nothing but a whole bunch of grief from Mr. Le Mesurier's death, and since no one has ever been able to find any intelligence service relationships in her woodpile, then no foul play is suspected on her part. The lesson from all this is that even good guys can inadvertently become bad guys if they are not aware of how the deck is stacked. We're going to take a quick station break now. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Greetings, dear listeners. Welcome back to the Thunderbolt. The reason I'm speaking in this crappy French accent is because this next story originates in France, revealing that life has become a beach in the home of the Beachois. Yes, it would seem that the name of Ville des Beach has triggered what has evidently become a whole bunch of new censorship algorithms that Fedbook is running these days in their new role as master censors of all public information. Also banned was a local organization that exists to honor the American 100th Infantry Division that came from South Carolina to liberate Ville des Beach back in the day. Liberators who proudly referred to themselves, yes, as the Sons of Beach. Fascist Book has since apologized for banning Ville des Beach's page and restored both the town of Beach and the Sons of Beach to their former Frickbook status. The mayor of Ville des Beach, though, was outspoken in his criticisms of how long it took for them to restore their page. You know, back in the late 1960s, there was an experiment with the founding of a racially integrated community
in North Carolina. Soul City was the brainchild of a close associate of Martin Luther King Jr.'s named Floyd McKissick, who at that time was almost as well known as Dr. King was. And Soul City represented a utopian attempt to both achieve racial harmony and to economically empower black people. All in order to prove that it was possible for such a thing to exist. Now, this was not a separatist movement, and it was not a socialist movement. It was an attempt to integrate black people into the mainstream capitalist system. By forming a thriving capitalist economy with black people at the controls. Soul City even had the support of the Nixon administration. As part of Great Society legislation, in order to ease the serious crowding being experienced in the cities, the federal government helped fund the development of 13 new towns throughout the United States. And Floyd McKissick managed to obtain a housing and urban development loan to purchase an old slave plantation, appropriate enough, and to start his town through that program. But he was the only black man who managed to do so. The plan was for residents to work, get schooling, shop, receive health care, and to worship all in the same town. In order to gain support for Soul City, Floyd McKissick even switched from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, and he endorsed Nixon in his successful 1972 re-election campaign. Soul City failed for many reasons, but the main reason was that Soul City incurred the wrath of the infamous segregationist senator Strom Thurmond. After the Raleigh News and Observer falsely accused Mr. McKissick of fraud and corruption, Senator Thurmond used those articles as an excuse to launch a completely baseless federal investigation of Soul City. Now, almost nothing ever came of that investigation, but the investigation itself, as is often the case with federal investigations, cast a pall and a cloud over Soul City for well over a year. That, combined with the fact that this investigation happened to coincide with an overall economic collapse, Soul City was unable to recover from all of that, and the government withdrew support a few years later. Soul City now has a population of around 250 people. I Google Earthed it to see what it looks like these days. I already knew that the health care clinic was gone, that the senior center was gone, that the swimming pool was gone, and that the fire department no longer existed. But the first thing I noticed was that there wasn't even any street view features on Google Earth,
within 20 miles of Seoul City. Meaning that Google doesn't figure enough people care about Seoul City enough to want to view it at street level. But then, when I pulled up the standard aerial view, the first thing I saw in Seoul City was a complex of buildings that I immediately recognized as a large prison. Yes, people, the scene of this once serious attempt at racial harmony is now dominated by the Warren County Correctional Institution. Maybe this particular thunderbolt should have been featured as an irony of the week. All right, so now it's time for the feature piece of this week's show, wherein we explore the concept of reclaiming the commons, which is something that we really need to do, meaning that this is something that we really should do, and I am happy to report that that is something that some heavy people are doing, in fact. Since the imperialism machine loathes the very concept of a commons, most Americans remain unaware of even the concept of the commons, as everything that nature provides to us, i.e. the land, the air, the water, the wildlife, and so on. But a few centuries ago, certain people started claiming ownership of things like the land, the water, and the wildlife. And these days, certain people are also claiming ownership of life forms, our shared knowledge, and even of our human relationships. The commons that are being stolen today include our seeds, our biodiversity, our information, our health and education, our energy, our society, our communities. And as I have reported just recently, they are now even claiming to own the genetic information that makes up Mother Nature herself. The theft of the commons started when the first person figured out that they could hoard food during the good times and then cash in when the next famine came along. However, the problem of having certain people claiming to own portions of our commons just because they will shoot anyone that disputes that ownership became one of humanity's central problems during the 15th and 16th centuries, and colonialism soon transformed the theft of the commons into a worldwide operation. No one owns the earth. No one certainly owns my genetic information. We need to deal with and radically alter this concept and worldview that has been rammed down everyone's throats for several centuries now. And I am happy to report that a lot of major activists, including such luminaries as Vandana Shiva, are doing just that. Yes, people, in spite of the seeming hopelessness of our plight, there are a lot of good things happening in our world. They are underreported, and the propaganda machine does its best to just ignore all of those things. And indeed, for that very reason, most people are unaware of any of those things.
but there is a there, and maybe we can eventually get there, wherever there turns out to be. I'm still expecting something unexpected, and thus I am fully prepared to be fully unprepared for whatever does not happen next. And now, on top of everything else, Microsoft Word is seriously scolding me about that last sentence. Now cry me a friggin' river. But anyway, it's time now to get to work. So we're going to lighten things up a little bit with the music selection this week. These are the Holy Modal Rounders.
Throw away your pump, romp me through the swamp, romp me through the swamp in the month of May. Wading through the slimy ooze, you can drive away your blues, romping through the swamp. Always warm and buggy, also spidery and muggy, romping through the swamp.
Bon appetit! Oh, darling!
Lying in the swamp, talking on your womp, watching at the waves, glaze, haze, can raise. You can be a muddy satyr, wrestling with an alligator, romping through the swamp. You can spend your time covered up with slime, saying I love you to the rock and goo, where it's always sun or muggy, all spidery and buggy, romping through the
swamp, 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 swamp.
Don't say words, maybe. Oh, maybe.
Throw away your pump. Romp me through the swamp. Romp me through the swamp in the month of May. Wading through the slimy ooze, you can drive away your blues. Romping through the romper home now. Good.
Swamp. What a swamp. Romp the swamp. Romp the swamp. Romp the swamp. Swamp. Romp the swamp. Swamp. Romp the 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 swamp. Swamp.
Oh, state of Check Falls, St. John's Eve, a little has no henna in my hair. Just to be sure, I got a joker up my sleeve, then a Roscoe for getting out of there. If I have the way, and if I have the means, and if I take my home tonight, get as far as we can from a New Orleans to the Frisco in our sight. Don't scratch your cross on the side of a dune, and don't do like you've done before. Don't call the name of the widow Paris, or she might come to
your door. Got a green ma gave to me. I got a pistol that I borrowed from Paul. I got a seat at the best game in town with that rich guy from Arkansas. I got debts that are catching up to me, and I got devils that are stopping my way. Got a notion someone put a spell on me, and I think, Lord, I forgot how to pray. Don't scratch a cross on the side of a tomb, and don't do like you done before. Don't call the name of the widow Perry's voice, it might come to your door. Je suis accro à l'héroïne, mais les éléphants ont brûlé. If you ask me, it's a voodoo queen who's driving me this away. Gotta get away from a New Orleans, and a bayou ain't far enough away. I'd feel better if I made the Philippines, or at least as far as Frisco Bay. Don't scratch a cross on the side of a tomb, and don't do like you've done before. Don't call the name of the widow Perry's, or she might come to your door.
What a sunburn, hot it burned, my eyes burned so hot I thought I'd died. Thought I'd died and gone to hell, looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, I went to the river, but the river was dry, and I fell to my knees and I looked to the sky. Looked to the sky and the spring rain fell, I drank the water from a deeper well. Well, 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 I drank the water from a deeper well. Well, I fell in love like a baby child. I fell for a touch and I fell for a smile. Smile turned bitter and her touch turned cold. I could not keep what I could not hold. So I ran with the moon and I ran with the night, and the three of us was a terrible sight. Hoard and we'd gamble with the money we'd steal, looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, 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 looking for the water from a deeper well. What a moon got weak and he soon was gone. And the night got sick and he died with the dawn. Died with the dawn with a drink in his hand. Too sick to walk, too drunk to stand. Well, time stood still, but I ran wild. And I got my fill with a crooked smile. Woke up on the floor of a jailhouse cell, looking for the water from a deeper well. Wow, 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 wow. Looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, the sun burned hot, it burned my eyes. Burned so hot I thought I died. Thought I'd died and gone to hell. Looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, I went to the river, but the river was dry. And I fell to my knees and I looked to the sky. Looked to the sky and the spring rain fell. I drank the water from a deeper well. I drank the water from a deeper well. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
All right. That was Deeper Well from David Olney. Before that was The Widow Paris from Lester P. Ross Graveside Quartet. And we started off with Romping Through the Swamp by the Holy Modal Rounders. See you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's DANA98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.